response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Gotta make it happen, come on, Cavs. Gotta make it happen with your fast break action. Gotta make it happen, just
now, this is music, Jake.
This is great.
Gotta make it happen, come on, Cavs.
Did I not play this?
Huh?
During it, you didn't play this during games.
That's great. Jake Ballman with you guys here on Overtime on 92.3 The Fan. It's good vibes. We're talking Cavs. Now it's a good time. Put Deshaun to the side for a second and take in 26-4. And to do that, let's bring in someone else to help us bring in the good vibes. Let's go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's Greg Swartz of Bleacher Report, and he joins us now. Greg, what's going on?
Not much. Happy holidays to you.
To you as well, yeah. Do you have a good holiday?
I did, yeah. We had a good time, and looking forward to New Year's already.
Yeah, it's... New Year's is always a good one. To me, if we get a drinking holiday, it's a good holiday. I'm not a booze hound, but drinking holidays are good holidays.
There you go.
Cavs obviously getting ready to start a West Coast trip here. I'm not somebody who views a lot of NBA regular season games as measuring stick games. Could a trip out west where they play some really good teams, obviously Dallas in the mix, Denver, you actually get back and then end up playing OKC, but sort of an extension of that. Is that as close as we can ever get in the NBA regular season to a measuring stick?
Yeah, it's the longest road trip that the Cavs have had all season at this point. Obviously, some of these locations that you play at, you know, Denver tonight with the elevation, it's one of the hardest places to play in the NBA. You know, you're taking a young team to Los Angeles. Obviously, there can be some distraction when you go out there. The Warriors are always a tough game to play at them. And then Dallas, the team that was just in the NBA Finals. It is a measuring stick, but to break these games down individually, Denver has struggled lately. This isn't the team that looks like a championship contender. I mean, they're barely breaking 500. Golden State, 3-7 in their last 10, really. I mean, they got blown out by the Memphis Grizzlies by 53 points the other night. Los Angeles, a team, again, that should strike fear into the hearts of no one. It's going to be... LeBron is officially going to be 40 when that game is played. And then you finish your road trip with Dallas. Luka Doncic just got ruled out for the next month plus with a calf strain. So if you break, you look at them on the schedule like, oh, those are some formidable opponents. But when you look at them on an individual basis, especially Denver, and then you get 2 days off, you have the Golden State Lakers game back-to-back, you get another couple of days off. It's a measuring stick, but the Cavs really should have the goal to go 4-0 on this road trip. There's no reason why they shouldn't.
Greg, you lay all those things out, and I know we've talked about this before when I've had you on, but like the Cavs have had what has been relatively an easier start to the season. This was one where I think a portion where people pointed to and thought, okay, here's going to be a real test. Now you talk about Denver struggling, the injuries on Dallas, the struggles of the Lakers. Is that just going to be a prolonged conversation essentially for the whole year that the Cavs never really get tested and it's just going to be in the postseason when we see what they, quote unquote, actually have?
I mean, look, they can only play who they got on the schedule.
Right.
It's not their fault. The East is terrible. When you've got Charlotte and Washington and Brooklyn on the schedule and you can only do your best against them. These are not good teams. The East as a whole is not a good conference. So even when you go out west, like I said, these are some teams that on paper, I mean, you're playing the Warriors at the right time. The Warriors were the 1 or 2 seed in the East, in the West, basically to the beginning of December, and they've really fallen off lately. The Lakers had a good start to the season. Again, a team that's fallen off. Denver is a team that there's just very bad vibes around this team right now. And, you've heard the Zach LaVine noise. Are they going to make a move there? I mean, they're considering reportedly some very big changes to this core that, like I said, it's only 2 years removed from winning a title, and then Dallas without one of the best players in the world. You could only play. The Cavs have been blessed with a good schedule, They had a lot of time off thanks to the NBA Cup. They're coming to this game tonight after 4 days off. They've had a great schedule. They've had, knock on wood, some good luck with injuries. But you can only play who you're going to play. And if the other teams are struggling, you can't have any mercy on them. You just got to do your best, even if the opponents aren't the strongest.
So looking back at the Cavs' last game, Sam Merrill makes a start, has a really good game, ends up dropping 20, hitting six threes. It points to the idea then that a lot of changes come for the Cavs at that three spot. It ended up being Sam in that game, and I know Max Strus is currently on a minutes restriction going in, that, at least in that game, and for a little bit here going forward. Is that something we should continue to see throughout the year, that this three spot is going to be a little mixy and that it never really gets solidified?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of been a revolving door. A lot of injuries. Dean Wade played well at the beginning of the year. Isaac Okoro obviously stepped into that spot and did really well. He's currently number two in the NBA in three-point shooting, which, I mean, I don't think any of us would have imagined that coming into the season. And he's out now with an injury. You know, if there's good timing for an injury, this was it. With Max Strus coming back, obviously Sam Merrill, his best game of the year. Somebody who, you know, obviously shoots the ball really well but was struggling this year and then just had a breakout game. So the Cavs have a lot of potential replacement pieces. I mean, the good news is when you have four potential all-stars around that small forward position, you can plug in you or me, and we could hit some open threes. So not super worried about it. Obviously, Max getting his minutes back up. I still believe that Max Strus is just a perfect fit for the system. With Kenny Atkinson, with his ability to shoot, cut, you can run so many different actions for him. I think he's just going to be a perfect fit there. So the injury to Okoro sucks, but you have so many good pieces you can kind of plug in that the Cavs can keep their heads above water even with him out.
No doubt. I also wanted to get into you a little bit with the Christmas Day games. Obviously, the NFL sort of impedes this year, schedules a couple games of their own. The ratings officially came out for that. Self-reported by Netflix by the NFL, so I take it with a grain of salt. But is that sort of changing the symbolic start in the NBA to a degree where it's usually, okay, Christmas Day is here, the NBA is the only thing on, everybody sort of picks up on the storylines from the big games, and it sort of jump-starts the year for the NBA, for the casual fan? You think that changes this year? Is the NBA almost having to wait until the end of the NFL season for people to, I don't want to say care, but to really invest themselves?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, the NBA is a great league. It's got a lot of good matchups. It's got a lot of superstars. They market very well. But at the end of the day, they're always going to be number two to the NFL in the United States. And that's okay. Like, if you're number two, you're still getting crazy good ratings. I mean, the Golden State Warriors, Los Angeles Lakers game with Steph and LeBron had almost 8 million viewers, is the highest rated Christmas Day game in 5 years. That's great. They did really well. You put those numbers next to, you know, some bad football games, they're still not going to compare because football will always be king. But yeah, that stinks for the NBA that they have to compete with the NFL on Christmas Day, because that's kind of their day. You know, we'll let the NFL have Thanksgiving, and we'll let the NFL have, you know, they have Black Friday now. There's games on there. So, but for Christmas, they put the juiciest matchups they can. Like I said, we saw Steph versus LeBron. We saw Victor Wembanyama in New York against the Knicks. That was a really good matchup. Obviously, he had a monster game. Ratings were very good, but head-to-head, just the NBA is never going to compete with the NFL. So that's bad news for basketball in general. They're going to put anybody, literally anybody, on the NFL, in a Christmas Day game for the NFL.
So I had two solutions that I brought up yesterday on the air that I think could help the NBA sort of get back their symbolic start. I want to know which one of these you would like better. It is the simplicity of the NBA takes over Christmas Eve, because Christmas Eve was a sports wasteland. We had just the Hawaii Bowl between USF and San Jose State. Not sure how many people were really dialing into college football that day for that one. Or you sort of condense the NBA Cup. You continue to play it sort of on these Tuesdays, Fridays. You might be able to add in a Wednesday, typically where the NFL isn't playing. But you condense it, you throw it at one part in the year, and you try to build off momentum where it almost feels cohesive, and it's not these spread out Tuesday, Friday, and then these long breaks in between.
Yeah, it's kind of been a funky schedule with the Cup. like you said, it's just these random Tuesdays and Fridays. You kind of forget, oh, it's a cup game. You know, you turn on the TV and you have these wacky courts and you're like, oh, yeah, this game means a little bit more. Or it's supposed to, at least, for the casual fan. It probably still doesn't. So I like the idea of Christmas Eve, a day that a lot of families are probably at home. They're probably gathering. They probably want at least something to put on the TV in the background as they open presents. That would be a good idea, I think, to put a couple good NBA games on. And you have so many good teams. You know, you look at the Christmas Day schedule, you didn't have the two best teams in the NBA. You didn't have the Cleveland Cavaliers. You didn't have the Oklahoma City Thunder. Two teams that have star power, that have tremendous records, that have exciting young players, and teams that, you know, fan bases can grow, and casual fans can look at this team and be like, oh, this is someone I can watch for the next 5 years. So they have enough good teams and they have enough good potential matchups that I'd like to see that spill into Christmas Eve. I think you're onto something there.
There we go. That's what I don't often get. I'm onto something. It's usually just me word vomiting into a microphone. So I'll take it. That is a big positive. Evan Mobley obviously taking a massive step up this year. Is there anything that you've seen out of Evan that maybe the casual fan doesn't see, just to quantify how big of a step he's taken? Like, can you quantify him as a number two on a title contending team? Has he hit that level, or is there something that he's doing you think that a lot of fans are missing?
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think he's very close to a number two. I think that's important, because if you believe Donovan Mitchell is a number two or number one, then yeah, Evan Mobley is very close to number two. I mean, obviously the raw numbers are up. Everybody's going to point to the three-point shooting. He's up to 41.5%. He's making one a game now, which is huge. I mean, he never even hit half a three-pointer per game in his career. So the fact that he's doing it at a volume is really good. But I think one play that stood out to me recently, and it was in their last game against Utah, where he got the ball and he just went right at Walker Kessler and just slammed it on his head. Walker Kessler is probably not a household name. He's number two in the NBA in block shots. He is 7 foot tall. He's probably 260 pounds. Just a massive human being. I mean, if you put a muscle for muscle against Evan Mobley, Mobley on paper does not have a chance. One of the best rim protectors in the NBA. And just the fact that Mobley challenged him, even if he would have missed the dunk, I would have been impressed. I've been like, well, that's what we want to see. That's the aggressiveness that we want. That's the, you know, the grit that maybe we didn't see from him, because he's so calm and he's so kind of passive and past. The fact that he went right at one of the best shot blockers in the NBA and dunked on his head, that for me just shows that he has the confidence now. He has the aggressiveness. And then you add in that three-point shot. I mean, Evan Mobley, in my book, 100% an all-star. When you look at the offensive growth plus what he does on defense, I mean, there's an argument that he's been the second-best defensive player in the NBA this year, next to Victor Wembanyama in San Antonio. So, for me, just the aggressiveness, the three-point shooting, you put all that together, boy, I'm excited about his future in the NBA and with the Cavs.
Greg Swartz of Bleacher Report with us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Greg, I got into it with Jonathan Peterlin on the afternoon show on Tuesday. I would consider this Cavs team already to be a title contender. He said he needs to see it against the Celtics, and that he'd have to be confident they can beat them in a seven-game series, and that just doesn't get done in the NBA regular season. Do you quantify them as title contenders currently, and how much of a shot are you giving them in seven games against Boston?
Look, Boston doesn't look too good right now. This is a team that they just lost two in a row. They've lost some bad games this season. They don't look like this juggernaut that, you know, kind of steamrolled through the NBA last year, won 64 games and won the Eastern Conference by 14 or whatever it was over the Knicks. So to answer your question, 100% the Cavs are a title contender. I think there's three teams in the East you could say that about. You could say about the Cavs, the Celtics, and I think the Knicks if they're healthy and clicking, are probably a title team. They've won five in a row as well to kind of solidify themselves as a number three seed in the East. Absolutely. I mean, they're 26-4. They have the best offense in the NBA. They've mostly been healthy, but you factor in, okay, well, we haven't even had Max Strus. We barely had him back. Isaac Okoro is out now. We've missed, you know, a starter and some rotation players. And this is a young core that's only getting better. And they have 2 years of playoff experience now. They have a playoff series win under their belts. They have a head coach that obviously looks like he's one of the best in the NBA, obviously the leader for Coach of the Year in Kenny Atkinson, 100% in a 1-1 record against the Celtics this year. And they've beat some of the other top teams as well. So 100% the Cavs are a title contender. And I'd be disappointed if, you know, they fall short of the Eastern Conference Finals or even the NBA Finals this year.
What would it, would you favor them in a game, in a series against the Celtics?
Well, as of right now, the Cavs would have home court advantage. If the Cavs had home court advantage, I would take the Cavs in that series. If somehow they slip and Boston retakes the one seed, then I would give the edge to Boston, just because both these teams obviously are really good at home. Cleveland, an NBA best 17-1 at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse this year. And obviously Boston in the playoffs at the Boston Garden, that's a really tough place to play. So if the Cavs can hold on to that one seed, they're guaranteed not to play Boston until a conference finals. And if they can get to that, I just think there's the depth for the Cavs is a lot better than the Celtics. Obviously, the Celtics have the edge in postseason experience. They shoot a lot more threes. The Cavs have been the more accurate team. Defensively, I'd go with Boston too, but I just think if the Cavs have home court advantage and each team is healthy, I would give the edge to Cleveland just if they have that home court advantage, because I think that'd be so important in a potential series against the Celtics.
On a day surrounded with a bunch of negativity, I'm glad you brought me some positivity, Greg. I appreciate you coming on as always, and look forward to talking soon, man.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
That was Greg Swartz of Bleacher Report, and he joined us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Make sure you go check him out, read all of his stuff. When we come back, I want to hit on what we just asked him. The Cavs, title contenders already. Would you put him there, or do you have to wait and see until the postseason like JP? 216-474-0092. We'll do it on the other side. It's Jake Volnick right here with you guys, 92.3 The Fan.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.